Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 131 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors podcast. This week, we're talking to Ryan and Jeff from Vantage Point Archery. These guys are out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. They've got broadheads that are completely made in the USA, all single-piece stuff. It's all made out of one piece of material, and they've got a lot of other stuff going on, too, that we talked about, but that was the main focus was their company, Vantage Point Archery. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. They've got a lot of good stuff, so go check out their website. I will link that in the description. I will also put in the description the discount code RHO10, so that's capital RHO10. And that code will get you guys 10% off of anything on their website. So make sure you use that. Go over there. If you see something you like, use that discount code. They were nice enough to set that up for you guys that are listening if you wanted to try out their products. So we've never actually tried them out. I think we're going to here soon. But from everything they said, I mean, they're great guys to talk to. I really like everything they got going on over there. So we're going to give their stuff a try. I think you guys should too if you're into the fixed blade, especially they've got single bevel, double bevel, two blades, three blades, vented, not vented. They've got lighter stuff, 100 grain, which we talked about a little bit, all the way up to, I think they might have some 300 grain stuff too. So they've got a lot of stuff for you guys to try if you're in fixed blades. We got into a little bit of conversation about what they might be doing in the future as well. So I think you guys are going to enjoy it here on episode number 131. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. Okay, so we got Ryan and Jeff from Vantage Point Archery. We're going to talk about those guys. Obviously, I want to get you guys a little bit of background. Usually what we do with first-time guests is we go like all the way back to where they started hunting. So we can, and then we kind of build from there. But since you guys are together, you've got this company, I definitely want to talk about that as much as anything. So we'll abbreviate that a little bit, but we'll do that, and then we'll roll into talking about what you guys got going on. But first of all, whoever wants to start, why don't we just start with Ryan? Give the people a little bit of background on you. One thing we always like to ask is, who got you started in hunting, and what was it? Like, were you started on squirrels or rabbits or deer?
Okay. So, back to, like, I remember mine more in the fishing side, believe it or not. Back as a young kid, I remember being a boat when I was a wee lad back in the day, just with my great grandpa, right? Out, and he loved the outdoors, and I got more of that from him. My dad is not an outdoorsman. And I started on the fishing side. Growing up, guns were always a part of our life. I was always more of a gun guy until Jeff can go into that side, until the VPA thing came along. But 100% honesty and integrity here. Like, I didn't pick up a bow until we bought the company in 2018.
Cool.
So I went in hog wild on that side of stuff. First thing I ever killed was a squirrel.
Yeah.
with a Browning 22.
There you go.
Still got it. Yep. So yeah, I love it, and probably one of my fun little shooters, and I like that. Right.
Yeah.
So that's me. That's where I come from.
Cool, man. So that's actually seems to be pretty common. It's like, I mean, obviously there's a large amount of people whose dad got them into it, but it seems like a lot of times it's like a grandpa or an uncle or like some other family member, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, does it skip a generation a little bit?
I don't know. It might.
Yeah, maybe.
So a follow-up question that I usually ask for archery guys, and you say you didn't start till 2008. So either
18.
Way. Oh, 18. I'm sorry. What was the first bow that you had?
Matthews.
A Matthews? Okay, cool.
Yes,
what
sir.
Model was
and
it? You remember?
VX3.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Cool. All right, Jeff, let's go with you. Same set of questions, man. Why don't you give us all the, we'll go all the way back to the beginning with the outdoors. Who got you into it and what did you start on?
Well, there's actually a picture. We were just in Utah in July going through some old pictures, and I got a picture of me. And remember, I'm old, so it's not like they had these fancy backpacks or anything.
But right.
Me bundled up as a, I could have been maybe a couple months old. I was born in June, so hunting season's in September, October in Utah. I'm originally from Utah. So September of 1970. I was out hunting with, looked like my grandfather, my dad, some other people. So I started off young. I don't know if I killed anything that young, but
right.
You know, probably the first thing I remember is pheasant hunting.
Okay.
Went out with pheasant hunting out in the fields in Utah is probably the first thing, but I've, you know, my first bow was a Bear recurve.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember getting my first compound bow and shooting wood recurve arrows through there. My dad running in the backyard saying, stop, and put one of those through your forearm.
Uh-huh. That's pretty common as well. We hear a lot of people whose first bow was either like the old PSEs or the old Bears. Like a lot of people started on a bear bow, it seems like.
Well, this is how old I am is we used to be able to get up in the morning and I'd go duck hunting and then I'd go to school. And I'd have my shotgun in my back window, my doors unlocked, and never worried about anything happening.
Yeah, everybody was safer for it.
Yeah. We shot sporting clays out on the football field.
Yeah.
Or just our regular gym class. Bring your shotguns to school, keep in your lockers, and let's go shoot sporting clays. That's back when the world was right.
I was getting ready to say it was crazy how you say you're old, but honestly, in the grand scheme of things, not that long ago, how much different the world was. That could be a whole podcast in itself. So we can go there down that rabbit hole sometime. But so that's where you guys kind of got started. So what initially brought you guys together? Was it before you guys started VPA, or is that kind of when you guys got together on that? Give us a little background on VPA and how it got started. How you guys kind of got started working together.
Go ahead, Jeff.
And me and Ryan actually met. So there's another partner we have in the business, Rob Troxel, and it's Ryan's brother-in-law. And in 08, I grew up in Utah, moved to Henderson, Kentucky, then moved up here to open an aluminum company. And I was looking for a place to move my family while we built a house. And there was a listing for a condo, and it was Rob's condo. And I met Rob, walked through his condo with him, and just kind of struck it off. We were friends, talk off and on. It's not like we hung out a lot, but met each other. And I think it was 2000, I don't even remember, 16, 17. Rob called me and said, hey, we've got a family business. Would you be interested in come over and looking at it, maybe run it for us? So I went over there and started working for him at a place called J&R Products. And then during the course of the time at J&R, I needed some parts made. So I found this little machine shop in Fort Wayne, Indiana, walked in to get a saw adapter made, and was impressed with what the potential could be at the machine shop. And I turned the corner and there's this machine cranking out fixed blade broadheads. And I was just enamored. So I went over to Rob and Ryan and said, Ryan, I actually met Ryan because he came to work at J&R with us, and just kind of hit it off, had all these projects that people come in and say, oh, you can't do that. And sure enough, we put it to work and make things happen. And we made vents. We used to be the largest supplier of bungs for whiskey barrels.
Okay.
We put a router together for that. Just did things people said couldn't be done.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, let's roll the dice and go get this machine shop and run it and take this product line of broadheads and risers, and we make all sorts of different things on that side and run it out, make it a brand name. And then we've also put our foot in the water on the armory side, where we make compensators. We're making bolts for some big gun manufacturers, and mm-hmm. just adding to the portfolio of what we can do and so, have fun at it.
There you go. It sounds like you have a niche for very niche markets.
Yeah.
I have a niche for trying stupid stuff.
It sounds like it's worked out for the most part, though.
Yeah, we enjoy what we do.
Cool. So that's kind of how you got started then on getting into the archery world. And obviously it sounds like that's going different places as well. But was it just the fact of you seeing that machine and you had the interest in the background anyway, so you were like, yeah, we got to do this, or was there more to it than that? Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market, and I'm really excited to use it this season and for years to come. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results.
Yeah, I was really looking at the underutilization at the machine shop was the first thing that I looked at is, you know, we have different businesses between the three of us that could use machining parts, and we were looking for something to invest in. And, you know, that's there's all sorts of things that we have, some level of investment in cabinet companies and mm-hmm. a group that does background checks, medical bed rental companies. I mean, we dabble around in a whole bunch of stuff. Rob's biggest business is a truck rental business where they do half ton to, I think, 1.5 ton upfit trucks called PTR, Premier Truck Rental. So there's it's a little bit of, you know, serial entrepreneurialism
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and just trying to find things, and then really trying to get back to our community. We live in a great community, and we're trying to find jobs that get kids that don't want to go to college an opportunity to make a good living doing something that gives them a skill that they can take with them their whole life. So it's, you know, all three of us have been blessed. So we're trying to get back to the community and create jobs and bring products back to the United States and make them here, which is unique to the archery industry.
It definitely is.
A lot of our competitors will sell their soul down the river and mm-hmm. they're chasing that extra dollar, which you got to be for profit. But, you know, they're buying a lot of stuff from China. You know, you look at a lot of these big companies, it's all Chinese made, and got to start voting with our pocketbook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, you have to be for profit, but at what cost, right? Like mm-hmm. you're talking about giving back to your community and bringing jobs. Jobs is a huge thing, and especially in, I think we're going to see a shift back a little bit from everybody being pushed, all these kids being pushed out of high school. You have to go to college, and cure all this debt. And for some people, that's fine. And if you're going to go get a practical degree and you want to do that, and you're okay with, you know, the debt that you're taking on and all that and the responsibility that comes with that, that's fine. But the issue is a lot of people, I think, get pushed into that don't necessarily need to be in it. And then they pick some degree that's never going to make them any money. And they end up with all this debt from a 4-year university, and they never can pay it back, where they would have been better to maybe go work for, you know, a broadhead company or a trucking company or something. Learn a trade, make really good money without the debt that sets you back right out of the gate. There's a lot of value in that.
When we're paying that debt, I mean, you talk about what happened back, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago is you're accountable. Mm-hmm. You made those bad decisions, you had to stick with them. Now you're not accountable. You make those bad decisions and somebody mm-hmm. thinks they got to step in and hand you something.
Yep.
That's not how we grow.
Right.
I just had a guy tell me that we ought to give in. If so-and-so wins the election, get used to it, give it in. It'll, you know, we'll be paying more subsidies or blah, 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 whatever it was. And I said, man, I'm sure glad we didn't have that attitude in 1776 or weren't that soft in 1776, or we'd be still be sucking down tea right now.
Yep. Yep. You're right. You're right. So going back a little bit to when you guys, when you brought this idea to them, what years are we talking there?
18. We bought it in 18. Okay. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So that's where you brought the idea to them of starting this Vantage Point. And then
no,
like that was around.
So they've been making broadheads since 2008.
Okay. So you guys.
Before we bought the.
Okay. Yeah. I got you.
Yep. And we came in and said, we saw the value in the Vantage Point side of things. And mm-hmm. we wanted to, because let's face it, in 2018, you probably never heard of Vantage Point Archery.
Right.
Well, we've done that in the last 5 years, like push out there and really brand ourselves as, hey, we're the blue collar broadhead, right? Like mm-hmm. it's a broadhead. It's going to last a long time that we're really proud of that's being made in America.
Yeah. That's an important thing too. And you talked about that, but,
imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Without getting, you know, giving away any secrets or getting too much in the weeds, how do you do that as a company and as new owners of something like that that's been established for a decade, and you come in and then you build it to what you guys have built it to? What does that look like? What has it looked like for you guys?
A lot of travel this year.
Yeah.
A lot of travel. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really getting out and letting people know, one, we're here. So when we took it over, it was selling to just local regional people. Nobody knew about us. It was a machine that they would run when they had nothing else to run. And what we went through is looked at what the payback is, you know, what kind of margins are there on different products. And there's a decent margin on broadheads. Mm-hmm. And you can still build them well and make a decent margin and be in that blue collar space. So really in the last few years, we went out and hit the trade shows, been out in front of people, handed out broadheads, went up head to head testing against everybody else. But the key, I think, that's putting us on the map is we listen. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of people that say, man, I wish you'd do this. And we actually do it. You know, they came out with like the Omega. Said, we wish everybody loves a single bevel, but they hate sharpening it. They said, it's just a pain. You know, you buy a set of heads and they'd be 50, 60 bucks, but then you got to buy another sharpening tool that's $60 to $100. Mm-hmm. We come up with a broadhead that's it's a little more expensive because of the S7 steel and the way that we have to make it with the compound angles. It takes more machining. But now we got a broadhead out that you can go out, sharpen on a flat stone. You don't need the jig, mm-hmm. and we offer a lifetime warranty on them.
There you go. So well, tell us a little bit about your guys' products and stuff, too. So what do you guys have out? What's your most popular? And then is it just a circumstance of, like, the machining that you guys have? Why is it that you've chose to do the products that you have? You can kind of get in that a little bit after. But first, yeah, just talk about your guys' products a little bit.
I can go, Jeff. So we start 100 grain up to offering 300 grain with 73 different SKUs in between. So 3-blade, 2-blade vented, 2-blade up to 300 grain, single bevel from 125 up to single bevel from left and right mm-hmm. articulation from 125 grain up to 300 grain. We offer a ton, and then you have your thumpers on top and your field points and stuff that goes along with it mm-hmm. is another big thing. Believe it or not, still our number one seller is a 3-blade 100 grain.
Yeah, I believe it.
It tracks that way most of the time. the ones that are taking that spot that we've seen over the last 2 years is guys going to 125.
Yeah.
And that's slowly coming up there. Well, not really slowly. Within the past like 6-8 months, we've seen that trend because we've done that work and then gotten our single bevels down with that integrity and keeping them solid. And still we can do those in 125 grains. So some guys are making that jump up 25 grains mm-hmm. and we'll always say, hey, why not put that weight in your head? Right.
Right.
Take a little off your insert and put it in your head. That way, you know, you've got a solid head up front.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, like I'm not giving anything away, but every broadhead that we make starts at 7,000 grains.
No kidding.
1 pound of material breaks every broadhead in our shop. So 97 point, whatever that is, 98% waste.
Right. Yeah.
And
right.
We recycle a lot. Right. And that's something that we work that well, and we're willing to do that and willing to make sure that when we say it's a solid one piece head, it is.
Yeah.
No MEMS, no injection, no nothing. Like it's a solid bar stock broadhead.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That you talked about that 100 grain three blade, and I mean, how many people grew up shooting 100 grain muzzies, you know, like,
yep.
Especially from that, like the older generations of the archery hunting, like that was, I mean, it's gotta be one of the top sellers all time. Right. So it makes sense to me that that would be a popular broadhead for you guys. And me personally, I've shot almost any different kind of broadhead you can think of. And I've liked a lot of them and I haven't liked a lot of them. And like my favorite fixed blades that I've shot have been 125 grain three blade broadheads. I like a little bit more weight in the head up front, and if I'm going to shoot a fixed blade, I, you know, that's just what I've shot and what I've learned to like. So,
sure.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And like you said, it probably would surprise a lot of people or some people, and it does seem like there's, of course, in the outdoor industry, it's like anything else. Like people fight with each other and bicker about what they like and what they don't like and what their favorite is. And it seems to be, there's a lot of people in two camps right now. And one camp is like the lighter you can go, whatever absolute biggest cutting broadhead you can find. And then the other camp is like the absolute heaviest you can go and all that stuff. So it is.
Are you going to ask us where we side on?
No, I was going to say it is from that aspect a little bit interesting to me that the 100 grain is still as popular as it is.
I would agree with that. And that's something that, and Jeff can chime in on this too, because I really feel like for me, it's 150, but I know where I'm hunting, right?
Yeah.
I know that I'm west tail, I'm white tail Midwest hunting mm-hmm. in a blind. My longest shot's going to be 40 yards and I know where it's coming from, right?
Yep. Yep.
So, and I want to make sure that I'm plowing through. If I'm too far forward, I don't care about shoulders. That's just where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going out west, you better believe that setup's changing.
Oh yeah. As it should.
Right? Like, and I think that some guys are like, well, you should be able to run the same thing wherever you're at. I'm like, why?
Right.
That's more calls that I get from guys like, why would you run the same thing if you're hunting an elephant in Africa and yeah. killing a whitetail in Indiana?
Yeah. Why would you limit yourself?
Why would you do that? So I don't know. And I think guys are a little bit afraid like to mess around with that weight because it's what, because you have to change your sight tape
mm-hmm.
and do a little work.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yep. I feel like that probably has a lot to do with it. Yeah. But, and yeah. I do think part of it too is just like, you know, anything else, any other industry, any other thing that you see on social media or media in general, you always hear the loudest voices are generally the ones on the complete either side. So like we're hearing from the guys who like, I'm going to exaggerate. They like a 3-inch cutting, 3.5-inch cutting 75 grain broadhead versus the guy on the other end that likes like a 400 grain single bevel, you know, like obviously exaggerations, but like from the far end of each spectrum are the ones you're hearing from the most. And I feel like a lot of people probably do fall somewhere in between in the middle of that. And it's good to have different options.
And how sad, and then I think about that, how sad is it that the biggest talking heads are on both ends of the spectrums?
Right. Yeah.
Why isn't there somebody in the middle that's willing to step and say, hey, like, it's okay to be normal. It's okay to run 125.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have a setup that's 425 and be in the middle.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think really importantly with that too is we talk about this a lot on our shows and stuff is just the fighting that goes on in our own community that doesn't need to happen. if some guy wants to run one side or the other, fine. If that's what you want to do, do it. Why are you so worried about what I'm doing? You know?
Yeah.
Just well, we talk a lot.
Go ahead.
We talk a lot about, that's what's great about our industry is that, and especially archery, is that you go out, like Ryan started in 2018 and dove into it harder than anybody I've ever watched do it. Mm-hmm. And he went out and trial and error practice what you like, what you don't like. But yet we have these talking heads that really are gaslighting.
Yep.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it is. They're out gaslighting saying, all right, I'm an expert. I know everything. I'm getting paid all this big money. Just do what I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go out and have those experiences. Well, why even do it if you can't have those experiences? I mean, I learned more in my life from failures, trial and error, than I have anything. Why would I, you know, I don't go out and I guess maybe investing money might be the only place where I really listen to somebody like Warren Buffett that's really done well at it.
But right.
Everything else, working on my cars, farming, whatever it may be, I want the trial and error aspect. And the more you preach to me that I should just follow you, probably the less I listen to you. And that's why we offer everything across the board, because we want people, at the end of the day, we want people to make their own choice. And it's only you and the animal when you draw back.
Mm-hmm.
That talking head's not there telling you where to place it, not telling you to take the shot, not practicing with you, not putting in the time. It's just you and that animal and your gear. So figure out what you're comfortable with and to hell with what everybody else thinks.
For sure. Comfort's a big thing too in mm-hmm. archery. If comfort and confidence, if you're not confident in what you're shooting, if you're not comfortable with what you're shooting, I don't care what it is or who told you to do it, it's probably not going to work out.
Agreed. 100%.
And
you're probably not going to have fun doing it either.
No. That's a thing I think social media robs a lot of people of, with just having fun doing what you're doing. Quit worrying about posting the picture on Instagram or whatever, and just do what you want to do. Do your thing, be you, and have fun with it.
And I think that's with the talking heads too. They'll go out and say, do you know how many animals I killed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you, I can introduce you to people that you've never met that just love hunting that probably killed, you know, 4 or 5 times more animals than.
Yep.
There's some super rich guys that, you know, hunt 4 or 5 bulls a year, 6 bulls a year, 10 mm-hmm. deer a year, that's all they do is hunt, but they're just doing it for their own enjoyment, not trying to gaslight or get their picture in the paper. It's
right.
Just what they do.
Yep.
So
kind of in that vein, so you guys are obviously, I'm sure you guys are doing R&D all the time and trying to come up with new stuff. Are there certain directions that you guys want to go? Or are there certain things you think you will always stay away from? Or like, what do you think right now, sitting and looking at it, like the direction looks like for you guys? If you guys plant food plots and you don't know who Grandpa Ray Outdoors is, you need to look him up. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for white-tailed deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed and plant foods with over 14 different food plot blends to choose from. You won't have any trouble finding what you're looking for. They've got fall and spring blends, corn and beans, switchgrass, liquid fertilizer, soil test kits, you name it. When it comes to planting, they've got it. They're not just about selling their products, though. They were started in 2015. John, the owner, has been in the business since 1991. So with that knowledge that he's acquired, he's going to be able to answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way you can achieve the best results possible. Like us, John and his team don't believe in a cookie-cutter approach to wildlife nutrition. They're going to treat you and your situation individually. We've used tons of their seed on client properties, on our own properties, and the results have always been as good, if not better, than advertised. That's why we partnered with them in the first place. If you want to, go to GrandpaRayOutdoors.com, use the discount code RHOPODCAST, that's all lowercase, no space, and you get 5% off your entire order there. You guys need to go check them out if you care about getting the most bang for your buck when it comes to your food plots.
I don't know if there's a limit that we won't go to. So first of all, it's got to be legal and ethical, right?
For sure.
We want to make sure. So when we design our broadheads, we want it to be for the plan B. If it's a little far forward, if it's a little far back, you know, if you got to go through that shoulder, 2/3 of the vitals are behind the shoulder on most animals.
Mm-hmm.
So we're designing our heads to go through the shoulder, not just through one. We want to be able to go through the ball joint, pass through, and come out the other shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of our biggest things is people say, we love your broadheads. and we're glad you warrantied them because we're getting full pass-throughs and jumping off the rocks on the other side. So right. We're glad you warrantied them. And that's, I think that's what drives us, is that integrity piece, to know that you're shooting a broadhead or you're shooting a piece of the equipment you could be happy that you paid for. You know, mm-hmm. We're not the most expensive, we're not the cheapest, but I think we're the best value because you can shoot it year over year. You can go buy a junky thing of mechanical broadheads from Walmart and you save a bunch of money, but it's three shots. You shoot into three foam targets that are done. You shoot into, well, you can't shoot into shoulders, but you shoot into three deer, You're done, and you got to go buy three more. Ours aren't like that. You can shoot them into the shoulder. You can bounce them off rocks. You can do whatever you need to do, sharpen them up and go again. So at the end of the day, cost over time, we believe we're a better value. So that drives us. But we also talk about being fixed blade. We actually hold a patent on a mechanical that we could come out with, but we haven't refined it well enough that we want to come out to where we say it's the most reliable mechanical on the market, because part of your practice is taking out variation. Mm-hmm. And then you add a mechanical or something like that. Is it going to open? Is it going to open halfway through the flight? Is it not going to open? I mean, you're adding more variation with the mechanical.
Yeah.
We've got a design that we think we can make a mechanical that can still go through both shoulders, but you can adjust depending on what animal you're shooting to get the optimal blade opening to make sure it's always open when it hits and always closed when it deploys,
right,
when it comes off the bow. So, yeah, I don't know.
Ryan, that gives me heartburn. No, I'm just saying, like, when I think about that, like, I stand pretty hard on that integrity piece, right? And both Jeff and I both do, right? Like, it's, and it comes to me, like, I want to make sure that I'm not only, I can stand behind, we can stand behind it as a company, but also we can say that.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
We're making a product that's ethical and it will work. Mm-hmm. So the R&D on this thing is going to have to be big. It's going to be something that we're going to flush out all the bads and make sure that, like, we're putting out a product that's really going to work well. I mean, Jeff and I've stood on a long time, that whole soapbox of our broadheads are fully deployed when they're shot. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Ours are always fully deployed when they're shot. So that's one thing that, if we have to eat some crow, like, that's another side that, like, we're willing to do that and say, hey, we were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. Even going back, like, there are some good mechanical broadheads. Grim Reaper, like, he's a great dude, and they make a great broadhead, right? Mm-hmm. I love, like, they're American made. I'll stand behind those. But there's some other ones out there that I just wouldn't want to stand behind. And I want to make sure ours is one of those where people look at and be like, hey, this is cool. This works. I love it.
Yeah.
There's some other things in the shop that we're working on. I was kind of thinking about that. Is there a line that we won't cross?
Right.
Is that what you said?
Is there a direction you guys wouldn't go? You wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that we won't do, we will, we will never, like, not put God first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big for us. That's just big for us. It's big for Jeff. It's big for the guys in our company. Like, that's what we're about. Like, showing him the glory.
Yeah, for sure. That's
like
cool.
He's always going to be first. Yeah.
That's cool. I got a good buddy from Woodhaven that we've had on a few times. And, man, the same things that you guys are talking about, they echo with their stuff. And it makes a lot of sense across the board. Like, not only with, you know, it's all American made and they're standing behind it. But something even as much as like, oh, you were talking about price points a while ago, Jeff, you're not the most expensive, you're not the cheapest. There is an aspect, and just like almost everything else, you get what you pay for. But at the same time, you don't want to price yourself out of your target market. And you're talking about putting God first in everything. You're talking about being an American-made company. Your guys's main demographic, you could price yourself out of it, because it's the blue-collar guys that you're, you know, that we all are, that most of the outdoor industry is. I mean, it's made up of a lot of blue-collar guys. So you don't want to price yourself out of that market. There are some companies that do that. There are some companies that are all American-made and, you know, claim they're the best this, that, or whatever. But you go to, like, maybe that interests you, piques your interest because you're someone who's into that kind of thing, and you go look at the price point, and it's like you could buy four of something else for one of what they're selling, and it's the quality's just the same, you know, from some other company that's doing it made in America or something. So there's a fine line with that too, but it's cool to hear that there are companies that are putting those things first and that are willing to stand behind what they're doing, because, again, there's a lot of companies that just aren't, and it's just going back to Woodhaven, they talked about some of the shows they go to, you'll see these guys selling, let's just take duck calls, for instance, they're selling them for like $2 a call. Well, that's fine. I'm sure they probably sold a lot of calls at that show, but people are never coming back. You know, they're gonna get that one piece of junk for $2, and then when it breaks, inevitably, they're going to throw it away, and they're going to say, well, that company wasn't worth anything. And then that's great that you made all that money in that one day, but now you have no return business. You're not going to get any new customers that those people know for sure. And that's, forget if they blast you on social media, and then there's people they don't even know that you're never going to get their, you're never going to earn their business. So being able to stand behind what you do and making a good quality product at, you know, a price point that's both getting good bang for your buck, but also it's not so cheap that it's going the other direction. That's really important. And it's just a good business model, in my opinion, if nothing else.
Well said. Yeah, you said it all right, right? I was just looking up Woodhaven calls and just seeing who they were.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I was just checking them out real quick. Yeah, like, you said it well. I can't say it any other way. Like, it's perfect.
There's a lot of companies that, Jeff, you mentioned earlier, you have to be profitable. And they're shipping stuff overseas to make, and you guys would know better than I would, but the margins for what it's actually ended up costing it, are they really worth it?
It depends who you ask, right? I mean, there's a whole industry around that. I think the difference that you got to look at is, you know, we put God first, but we also have 30 families that we're worried about, making returns, making sure that they can put their kids through school, all that kind of stuff. So is it worth it? We had a large conglomerate call us back during COVID and say, hey, can you make our ferals? And we walked through that. And then they also, you know, ask about kicking the tires, and I ask them, what would you do with our people? Oh, we'd shut your operation down in the United States and we'd send it overseas and make a lot more margin. And I struggle with that. If that's all you're chasing is the dollar, which I know that motivates us and there's reasons to do that, take care of your family. But if that's your only motivation and you can take 30 families and throw them to the wayside to make an extra buck, I can't live in that world. I mean, I'd just rather sell out, be done, and close the place down and help those people transition or sell it to them than I would just sell it over. So, but you know, they're shareholders now. Nowadays, we don't put a face on the products anymore. It's the bling. It's the, you know, even advertising in our industry is about killing that, you know, 280 inch buck every year, right, year over year over year. That's not reality. It's a myth or a fantasy that we sell out there that, hey, if you use this, let's say you use this thing from China, it's going to help your hunting experience and you're going to kill 200 inch bucks every year.
Mm-hmm.
BS. You're not. You got to put in the time. You got to put in the effort. You don't just run to Walmart, buy that broadhead or buy that new bow and it gives you that. And I see, you know, we bounce around with that talking head group, and I'm not saying they're all bad. They're not. They're great people. They're great archers. Mm-hmm. They deserve to have success. I don't want to downplay any of that. But I've also stood next to them where they trash the product they represent in private.
Yep.
People around us. And I know one guy in particular was called out and said, well, quit shooting it if you don't like it. And he said, well, they pay me $250,000 a year to advertise it.
Yep.
I'm like, that's the height of being unethical to me.
Mm-hmm. We've had that discussion from when we started what we do, and we're not going to, as kind of the founder or whatever, the owner, I've had this conversation with everybody that we brought on, and they're all on the same page. It's like, we're never going to do something just because someone's willing to pay us more money. You know, if someone wants to pay us a bunch of money to use a product that we like, all the better. But we're not going to take and use something that we hate or we wouldn't normally use and promote it and tell everybody it's great just because they're paying us the most money. And to me, it's unethical for sure. And then where we're coming from with the podcast and with the shows and stuff, you lose people's trust, and then they're not going to listen to anything else you tell them. And kind of one of the big things we started the podcast to do was help people become better hunters, and for private land guys, like better at managing their properties and stuff and all that. So if we tell somebody, hey, go use this product A, and we don't actually believe in it, and we wouldn't use it otherwise just because we're getting paid a bunch of money, and it ends up being what we know it is and something that's not that great, and they go spend their hard-earned money on it, they're not going to listen to anything else we say anymore. It's also one of those deals where you see it a lot in the industry. Somebody will be using a product for years and years and years, and all you hear from them is this is the greatest thing ever, and everybody else is not as good. They're not up to par. This one's the best. And then they turn around a year later, their contract ends, someone else signs them up for more money, and then all of a sudden that product's the best one. And I don't want to be that guy either, you know, because there's a lot of that happens.
Yeah, it's crazy how the industry is, and hype sells, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it all goes back about sensationalism. You know, back with tobacco, you had the Camel Girls and
mm-hmm.
all sorts of things. Sex sells.
Yeah.
And, we talked about that being immoral and why that's not out there anymore, and false advertising. There's a lot of that. I think there's a lot of false advertising with products that are on the market right now about what it can do and what it does. And
mm-hmm.
I bought things that say they could do one thing when you get them in, it's nowhere close
right.
to what it could do. And that's what me and Ryan hang our head on each day too, is that we believe what we're offering is what you see is what you get. And when you can feel it and touch it, I don't know if you've had our broadheads in your hand, they're high quality broadheads. And the way we produce them, everybody says, oh, they're all made the same. They're not. It's more expensive to make our broadheads than I think how other people do it. But again, proof's in the pudding. You know, go grab a MEMS, which would be, think of the big brand names. There's a lot of metal injected broadheads out there.
Mm-hmm.
They call them one piece. But you shoot them through a shoulder, you run them through Lusk Archery's test, and they just don't last. Ours last. I mean, we got the highest rating on a fixed blade broadhead with the Omega with bleeders.
Mm-hmm.
That thing, Lusk called it a tank.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for, especially with what you guys are making, right? I mean, that's one of the biggest advantages to the type of broadheads that you guys have is durability and reliability.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah.
So back to your question about is there anything about chasing the money?
If you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tactic Cam Trail Cameras, camo dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors. Email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153.
I really think that's a moral question. Are you trying to please your consumers? Or are you trying to please your shareholders? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a conflict between those two.
Yeah.
We're telling, in the industry, we're telling the consumer, oh, this is all about you. It's the best thing since sliced bread. But in reality, we know that's not the case. Not us, but people in the industry know that's not the case. It's all about adding profitability to the shareholder.
Mm-hmm. Switching gears a little bit. I mean, it's kind of along the same lines, I guess. But you guys are doing some risers and stuff. Have you considered, like, would it be to a point, if the company got to a certain point, would you open up into some more archery stuff? Or do you think you will always be in kind of the broadhead space and kind of what you guys are working on now? But, like, I mean, would you guys ever step into, like, trying to look at doing a line of bows or something? Or I mean, it didn't have to be that, but anything else kind of within the archery space?
Well, we already do. So we do the risers. We do the arrow spinners, all the things around that. But we also quote or do some other products. Like right now we're running through doing some cams for other people's bows. Mm-hmm. We make other broadheads. We don't just make our broadheads. And then we do gun components. So, you know, it's really looking at three facets of our business. We're a machine shop, and that machine shop has some product lines on the front of it. One is archery and one is armory. So yeah, we're open to do anything as long as it can bring U.S. jobs back and U.S. products back. We're talking to people all the time and would love to do that. And mm-hmm. we always say that. If you have an idea in your head, we're an incubator for great ideas. Mm-hmm. So if you have something in your head and you don't know how to get it all the way through manufacturing to packaging to selling it, call us. If we don't have the in-house capability, we have friends that do that stuff, and we can help you take your idea from what's in your head all the way through to a finished product. Mm-hmm. We just did a competitor's broadhead that we got a call from him today saying it's the sharpest broadhead he's ever got. Took him from MEMS to one piece manufacturing, from China supplied to US supplied, creating US manufacturing jobs in the process, and we're all happy. He's happy, we're happy, mm-hmm. our employees are happy.
That's awesome. But you keep going back to that, the Made in America thing and being able to support people from our own country is so huge to me. And it's good to see. It's refreshing to see because there's a handful of companies that are doing it, and they're kind of bringing that back. And I hope we see more of that, not only across our industry, but a lot of others. But it sounds like you guys have a pretty big umbrella of stuff that you're doing. It's not really archery related, but on the armory side of things, I know you mentioned like maybe you're making some bolts and stuff. What's that look like for you guys?
Go for it, Ryan.
Yeah. So on the armory side, we're doing compensators for guns that help with mitigation. Mm-hmm. Last year was our first year at SHOT Show. We partnered up with Langdon Tactical and released it on the PX4 Storm, the Beretta PX4 Storm. Mm-hmm. Great reviews on it. It's one of those things where we can't make them fast enough because we can't design them fast because we all know there's so many concealed carries out there and so many carry guns out there. Mm-hmm. For us to design one for each one of those is really hard. And it's a task for us, but we're getting through the list as fast as possible. We introduced the one that's going to be dropped and within the next week is going to be the Taurus. Okay. We went with that one next. So far, we have the PX4 full and the full size Beretta full, the Storm. We have the Glock 19. We have the M17, M18 for SIG, mm-hmm. and the Taurus. And then we have I'm missing one, Jeff. Which one am I missing?
We got the GX4 Taurus. We got the
Archon Type B. Archon Type B.
Okay.
Cool. Go ahead.
On the 320 and the 365.
Mm-hmm. So that's been a lot of fun. It's kind of opened our world into that armory side of stuff. I like shooting guns, and so does Jeff. So it's gives us some R&D time too,
right? For sure. A little added benefit to being in that, right?
It's a definitely added benefit. We really like to shoot. So,
So what other brands are you guys, what other brands would those be, like the armory stuff and all that? So if people are, like, obviously if people like what you're saying and talking about, not only with the archery stuff, but
it's Vantage Point Armory.
Okay. So does everything fall under Vantage Point then?
Yeah. Vantage Point Armory, Vantage Point Archery, and Vantage Point Outdoors.
Okay, cool. Cool. That's easy enough.
Yeah.
It makes your marketing a lot easier, right?
Yeah. Alex loves this, right? She's like, we rebranded everything last year. That way it can kind of fall under that same umbrella. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Is there anything else you guys would want to talk about with specifically Vantage Point Archery or anything like that we didn't cover?
I don't think so. Jeff, do you got anything?
No, just the idea, go out, have fun. The great thing about TAC and this deal is it's bringing back that nuclear family type thing about you see the grandfather, the grandma, the kids, their grandkids. They're all out hunting. They're all out having fun. They're all out enjoying the outdoors. We're getting kids away from, you know, social media and being indoctrinated and get them back out to what made this world, this country great, right? We are the largest hunting public in the world is in the United States. Mm-hmm. We're the, you know, get on my soapbox, but we have the most freedoms. We have the best outlook on life. We have the most potential if you come here and work hard, and that goes all across, you know, your working environment, your hunting environment, the way you do business. It's just get out and enjoy what God gave us, because at the end of the day, we were blessed to be born Americans. Right? Mm-hmm. Could have been born anywhere else, and let's just make the best we can about that, create opportunity, and create opportunity for yourself, but also create opportunity for those that don't have the same opportunity you do. Give that lifting hand, whether it's teaching a kid how to shoot a bow, getting them outside, getting your neighbor involved, do whatever it is, but just unity around the hunting industry, I think, is big and something we should be promoting, and get away from gaslighting each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care if Fred's a better shot than me. As long as me and Fred both have fun doing what we're doing, let's go do it.
For sure. Why don't you guys, either one of you guys, tell people where they can find you? Anything, if you got anything new going on, I know we talked about a little bit of it, but let them know about that too. But just go ahead and plug whatever you want to, man.
I can do that. It's vantagepointarchery.com. You can find it on Instagram and Facebook and all those cool social media stuff. The new release for this year was the Omega with bleeders. We did that in a single bevel right and left for 150 and 200 grain. The 125, I just talked with the engineer this week. He says he thinks it's gonna be doable.
Cool.
So we're excited about that. I don't know. I doubt I'll do it. I doubt that we'll release it during season. I'm hoping it'll be a good one for the ATA show this year.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So that gives you a little bit of a timeline on that then.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah. Well, listen, I really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your evening. I know, I'm glad we finally got it scheduled. I know it was got pushed back a little bit there, but I'm glad we got to talk to you guys, and hopefully, you know, we'll have you guys on again sometime, and then I can bring, hopefully, Nate or Blake or somebody else can be in here to talk as well, because I know they'd eat this stuff up too.
Good deal. Appreciate you having us.
Yep.
It was fun.
Yeah. For sure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,